This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the Fan. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. We'll get back to those calls in just a second. Been a few weeks, BT, since we've revisited here the BT and Sal over-unders. The stakes were we picked six over-unders each. We drafted. It was kind of like an over-under draft from a pool of different things here, which we'll get to in a second. And then the winner would get to choose what the loser would have to dress up as far as a baseball player goes. Any baseball player from any era, any generation, the loser's going to have to dress up like that. Now, we've had some that have been in the books for a while. You want to start with yours or you want to go 1-1?
Go 1-1.
Okay, so first one for me. I actually don't know where we're at with this. Hoff, you can help us out. Cole starts. I had under 20.5 Garrett Cole starts.
You're fine.
What is he at?
He's at 16.
So that's a win. That's an automatic dub. Okay, that's one there for me.
One. Mine is Volpe over under 55.5 home run steals.
You had over. Loss. Right. What is he at?
Over.
What
he's at 27 stolen bases, 12 home runs. Yeah. So 39.
39.
Okay, you're not going to get that. That's
no,
a loss.
No, it's a loss. So 1-0 Sal.
All right. Pete Alonso, I had over 42.5 home runs. Pete right. may think he could hit 40 still. Yeah. There's five games to go. Mm-hmm. He's what, 35 or 36?
I think he's 36 or 37.
Okay. Well, that's 34. A loss. So I'm 1-1.
34? Are you going to lose that one? Okay. I lost this one. McNeil batting average over 298. I thought he'd bounce back. Not even close. And he's hurt. Boom.
Okay, so that's
1-0 Sal.
So we are... No, I'm 1-1. You are 0-2 so far.
I'm saying, like, you're up one. You have one on me.
I have another loss here. Alvarez over 23.5 home runs. Okay. And see, I try to go pro Mets and believe in Pete and Alvarez,
yeah.
And I get burned both times there. So that's I'm 1-2.
Okay, here's my first win. Yankees win total over 91.5. So,
that's a lock. That's done.
Yep, I am 1-2 there.
What are they at right now, by the way?
I think it's 94.
Okay. Yeah, the recent hot stretch pushed you right over the edge there. Last time I think we did this, it was probably going to happen, but I still think it was up in the air.
I never really worried about it
too
much.
No, you did not. I was hoping against hope. All right, here's one I don't actually know. Hoff Soto. I have Soto's over OPS for the year at 946.
You're good.
987.
Now, can it come down that dramatically in five games?
I don't think it would come down that much. No.
Okay.
I mean, if he goes 0 for 25.
This is the first time I'm going to mark that as a win.
Yeah.
Where normally it has been, undecided yet. So I'm 2-2 so far through four.
All right. I'm going to move to 2-2 here, but I'm not going to give it, I'm not going to write this in ink. This is incredible. Seve, over under ERA. Four.
You had the under.
I had the under. He's at 3.91 now.
This one actually might decide. What is he at?
He's at 3.91.
Okay.
Nine hundredths of a point. I'm flirting with
you. Did
they
give him an error for last night?
He gave up 300 runs.
They were all earned.
Yeah, gotcha.
So wait, so this is the updated after last night. He's 3.91.
Yep.
Now he's probably going to take.
He's going to get another start.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I'm going to be torn here because I think I have to root for him.
That's true.
All right, so that one's still undecided.
Yeah.
As of now,
a good chance, but I also have a chance to lose.
I had the Yankees. I went head-to-head with you under 91.5. That is a loss. So I am right now 2-3.
Okay.
You
this
add?
This will make me Judge over 41.5 home runs.
That's a win, obviously. Way over.
That's
not
a
even
win
close.
Right there. So if Seve wins, like I'm
so right now you're
two and one.
Yeah, right.
You know, right now Seve's winning, so I'll just say 3-2. But not a lock.
I had the where's Lindor at stolen base? I think he cashed that already.
You got
right?
it. You're
27.
Good.
Okay, see, I had 23.5, so that's a win. So I am basically if you're telling me Soto's OPS can't drop. So I will be 3-3, which we've kind of assumed for a while.
Okay.
I'll be 3-3.
Yes.
Your last one was Mets under.
Mets under win total. What was the number? 83.5?
82.5.
All right. Well, I lost that. So if Seve holds on and wins, be 3-3.
And the tiebreaker
was the amount of games that Judge and Soto played,
which is 308 right now.
Which is going to be good for me.
100%. You picked 290. I had 270, so you're higher, so you're going to be closer
nice.
To it. I think that's the most remarkable stat of the year. Judge has played 155 games.
That's pretty wild.
Coming off the spring where we weren't certain, he's played 155 games.
So, yeah, no, I get it. So, now, hold on. So, back to the bet here. So, yeah. If Seve stays below four, I win?
You're going to win because you would win on a tiebreaker. Yes.
Ooh,
we both beat 3-3. You win a tiebreaker. This is it.
What are you rooting for?
I'm rooting for me to win.
So, you're rooting for Seve to get rocked?
Well, I'm rooting for that ERA to go up over four. Now, how is that like? Give me the mathematics.
I don't have the exact math. I mean, if he gets tattooed, it's going to fly over four.
3.91.
Yeah.
Where was it going into last
3.79-ish
night?
3.79-ish.
So it went up.
It was 3.79. He gave up four runs of four innings. It jumped up 12 points.
Yeah.
So he's going to have to be really bad, I think, for that to go up over four, no?
No, I don't think so. If he's about the same and last night went up 12 hundredths of a point, he doesn't have to be quite as bad for it to go up eight.
And even if it is
nine.
What if he finishes four on the dot?
That's a good question.
That's a push.
I think that would be a push.
So you would be, 3-2-1.
Honestly, I'm going to be fair. No. If it's 4.00, I think I lose.
I would say it's a push, and you by that it would be like a tie, and therefore you would have... Oh, no, you would only have two wins.
That's what I'm saying. I'm banking on Seve to be my third win here.
You'd be 2-3-1,
yeah,
so I would win.
My only wins are Seve, hopefully, Yankees win total, Judge over.
Right, so you'd be 2-3. You're 2-3-1 right now.
Correct, and assuming if Seve can hold on and do what I need him to do,
so,
then I would win.
If it's a push, wow. I would end up winning. I got to get those points. Hey, look, I don't care if Seve gets rocked that day. Give me the
Mets. Come
on.
You'd rather see the Mets get eliminated?
I don't want to dress up as a baseball player
again. Don't say that into a microphone, dude.
No, I didn't want to see the Mets get eliminated. Maybe his start doesn't mean as much. Now, by the way, I just want to see him take a start.
I know. That's the other thing.
I need to see Seve take a start.
Wait, here we go.
Use him out of the pen?
You don't know. Mets somehow they squeeze in this game today. Maybe they play two, whatever. Mets handle business early in Milwaukee. They lock it up. They give a start to a young kid. Seve just rest up in the playoffs.
He would be
sits at 3-9-1.
So he pitched yesterday, which was Tuesday. So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Sunday's the last game. Maybe. It could be Monday.
Right, but either way, even if they're playing no matter what.
Monday means something.
So no matter what, he should be pitching Sunday in Milwaukee because that game should mean something, you would think, unless they play these two games here in Atlanta.
Unless the Mets win these two games and they win the first two games in Milwaukee.
And push him back to game one of the postseason.
Or whatever. Yeah. I mean, then we could just...
So he might not pitch again.
I think...
God, that would be a terrible way to lose.
Sal, I think he's going to pitch again. Just based on everything that's transpiring here, I think he's going to have to take the rubber again.
I hope that's the case. I don't want to lose on a tiebreaker with him not taking his final start of the year.
Now, listen, we got to at least flush through this for a sec. We'll get back to these calls here.
You've
got to at least have a thought who you would make me dress up as.
I actually haven't thought about it yet. I mean, we had the initial conversation. It would either be a Met or a Red Sox. I'm not going to do somebody fun. I want to make it a little painful for you as a Yankee fan.
Yeah.
But like a historic Met. We could have some fun with it and make you dress up as Daniel Vogelback.
I think maybe a little Roger Clemens for you. Maybe a little Steve Balboni, make you grow out the horseshoe hair. The Jeffersons.
You're gonna wear a Yankee hat.
That's part of the deal, too, my man. Part of the deal. Or, I got something more painful for you. Dwight Gooden as a Yankee.
No, I'm not doing that. That's not the rules. I don't think that was. Let me check the rule book here.
There is no no's.
And when are we executing this?
Whenever you want.
We got to pick a timeline.
It's
got
to be somewhere. I was going to say it has to be somewhere public. It doesn't have to be because we're just going to sit here like idiots like we did with Doink and Goldust.
The difference is this time it's going to be one of us, not both of us.
That's true. Ooh, Daryl or Doc in a Yankee uniform. Wow.
Am I allowed to make suggestions?
We're always open to that.
Yeah, Marla Hooch from A League of Their Own.
That's a good call. Jeez, from A League of Their Own. This guy's sadistic.
I'm stay away
this
from that twisted. One. Yeah, I know. This you really are sick.
I'm just trying to be creative.
Doink. No, I'm not doing that.
This guy.
Talking about major league players.
You are twisted, man. You come up with some good stuff.
Thank you.
You really do.
That's the only one you have?
I thought that was brilliant.
Yeah, well,
it's not bad.
I think most people would like to see that, actually.
And you probably could get that uniform, but...
Maybe hairy legs. Oh, God, what a disaster that would be.
All right, well, there we have it. So it's going to come down. So everything else, we don't need to revisit this any longer. All the, well, I guess we could just finalize the Soto OPS if and when that happens. But Seve's ERA, it comes down to that, is going to be over or under four. It's 3.91.
Former Yankee, could determine the season. You want to talk about palpable rooting interest here? Let's go.
And I don't care who has a problem with it. I'm rooting for me. So it's not that I want to see the Mets get eliminated.
But as long as Sal's okay.
No. I just want to sort of, here's what I'm rooting for. Severino's ERA to be higher than four. Yeah. Or just four, actually. I don't want it to be any higher than four. Just four.
I wouldn't take that chance, buddy.
Well, I'm taking the chance. I'm BT and Sal on the Fan. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Tony's in Lodi. What's up, Tony?
Incredibly frustrated Mets fan. Barely slept last night. Same old Mets, BT. You've said it best. It doesn't change until it changes. So I get home from work last night, crack a beer, relaxing, ready to go. For moments later, for Jose Iglesias to run into the ball the very first out of the series. I mean, Sal, you can't make this up. It's so Mets. Then I got Severino and the troll tackling each other on a misplay ball. Severino throwing 10 fastballs down the middle to Michael Harris, the leadoff hitter. I mean, it's the same old Mets. It's so, I know it sounds like an overreaction, Sal.
It is.
You love the Mets, too. I mean, it's just, I can't.
See, I'm not going there, Tony, and thank you for the call.
It's a massive overreaction.
I'm not saying same old Mets. I'm just saying that I didn't want to give a prediction of what was going to happen. I've believed in this Mets team as much as you can believe in them since they've turned it around, and they have been literally the best team in baseball since June. That's been their record. I mean, I didn't check after the loss last night, but they've had the best record in baseball since June. But I couldn't let myself go all the way in until I saw them beat Atlanta face-to-face. Now, if this series was scheduled 3 weeks ago, I would have said the same thing. It would have been different, obviously. Hey, go beat them now and then move on. You don't have to worry about the Braves. But knowing that this was always looming, I was always just waiting to see how they performed in this series. I'm not saying same old Mets. I'm not saying that 99 or 2001 or whatever has that history. 2022, there is, to me, history with this group. They have to prove they can beat them. End of story. And until they do that, I'm not going to believe it.
Listen, I've learned something that I thought I knew the answer to a long time ago. And I'm quite frankly stunned. I mean, I get it. There's certain fan bases that are fragile. Now that's four or five people today who have said that the moment Iglesias ran into that foul ball, you're like, oh, here we go. Like, you're treating it like it was the Castillo pop-up with A-Rod on Sunday night or Timo Perez not running on Todd Zeal's ball in the World Series. Dude, you know how easy it is to run into a ball that's a foot and a half in front of home plate when you're coming out of the righty part of the box and you have to... Now, if it's lefty, it's a little easier. You kind of go around it. As a righty, you have to cross that part of the dirt.
It just set a bad tone.
Cut the guy some slack. Yeah,
but, BT, it set a bad tone for a guy who's been on fire 17 games. Hitting streak or whatever, like, to start like that.
He had a hit last night, didn't he? Had one of your four hits,
I'm
too.
I'm telling you, it's not this team.
Wow.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things, like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
It's not this Mets team.
I know.
It's
the symbolism of the uniform.
Watching them play in that, and I want to say the worst words that are coming to my mind right now, but I can't, obviously, because I like my job, in that ballpark. Like,
it's just
bad things happen there. Mets fans have been enduring bad things from watching their team play in Atlanta for over 25 years. It's a long time. Hasn't happened every year, but like when the Nationals were up and there was a time when the Mets needed to beat them in 2015, they went to their building and they squashed them. They beat them. Cespedes or Duda or whatever. Like, the Mets just pounded them and broke through. The Mets have broken through over the Phillies over the years. This Atlanta team, it hasn't happened. Since they've become rivalries, when the Braves moved to the NL East in 1995 and then the Mets started to get their way better, 98, 99, 2000, 2001, the Braves have dominated. It's been one-sided. The Mets never get the best of them with the season on the line when it's in Atlanta. Never, ever.
I know that this is hard to believe, but maybe the Braves dominate because the Braves have always been better.
Okay, so I agree.
Is there a series like the Mets should have won where the Mets walked off, at least on paper, coming in and eventually exited the field in the stadium as the superior team and just didn't win?
Well, that's,
I think every time the Braves are just better.
Fair, but that's why people were telling me that it was different this time. The Braves are down. The Braves aren't as good. The Mets are better. This is not 2022 where the Mets were falling apart and the Braves were a machine that couldn't be beat. Although all you had to do was win one measly freaking game. You couldn't even do that with DeGrom, rested DeGrom, healthy Scherzer, and Bass. You couldn't even win one game then. But all right, I'll give you that. 99, Braves are better. 2001, Braves are better. 2022, Braves are better. How could you say that the Braves are better this year when the Mets have been the best team in baseball since June and the Braves have been a down team?
I'm going to tell you why. Now, it doesn't mean that it can't change if and when they get this game in today, whatever happens with the third game, Monday, whatever. The reason why the Mets have the best record since May,
June 1st, or whatever it is.
Now, we could give a few reasons. Give me one name. We all know the name.
Well, Lindor, you're talking about.
Lindor's not playing.
But they beat the Phillies 3 out of 4.
I get that, but it's not the same team. Like, if Lindor was never born and nobody knew who Lindor was, and, you know, Acuna's, well, maybe Acuna has a massive season, whatever it might be. But if you stripped away the production of Lindor this year and took average play or slightly above average and apply it to that stat line, the Mets are a 77, 78, 79 win team.
Right.
So I say that not to denigrate the Mets. I say that to really illuminate, I think, how much they've overachieved this year.
Right. I get it.
And that needs to be lauded.
Oh, understood. I'm just saying that Lindor, him being out, hasn't been a problem since he's been out.
They've last night. You guys had four hits.
Did you think he plays,
he's got a three-run bomb.
I know my answer to this. Did you think that one thing to sweep the Nats without Lindor, do you think the Mets would take 3 out of 4 from the Phillies without Lindor?
I did not. When we walked, I said this.
Me neither, even going in.
No, I did not. I thought they'd split. And when we walked out of there Friday, I got in my car, I put on Howie 880, I said, man, that's why I went to the game. I wanted to feel the energy of Met fans and have a little fun with you guys as well. I went out there because, you know, despite the going back and forth on the radio, you know, I love New York baseball. And I wanted to be with 40,000 people. If for a team that despite what some of you think, I respect. They've been really, really fun this year, and I wanted to feel it. But when I left the stadium, I got in the car, and I got on the Grand Central, I started going back to the GW Bridge, I said, there's no way they're winning the next two, and I fear that this could be the beginning of the end. And it wasn't. They win Saturday, they win
Sunday.
Without Lindor. But the more you play without Lindor, the greater the odds are you're not going to be the same team.
Okay, now I thought Lindor was going to play either Thursday against Philadelphia or when we went out there Friday, I thought he'd be there. I was surprised he didn't play at all. So if you were to tell me Lindor wasn't going to play against the Phillies at all, I would have thought for sure they'd at best split. But he didn't play. They took 3 out of 4. They swept the Nats. No Lindor. They sweep the Nats. They take 3 or 4 from the Phillies. And now, of course, the first game without Lindor that you start to see the Mets look lifeless just so happens to be coincidentally against the Atlanta Braves in Atlanta. Am I supposed to believe that that's coincidence? I'm not buying it. Plus, the Braves look like a machine again. There's twofold. The Braves get better when they play the Mets. The Mets get worse when they play in that damn building down there. And we'll see how they do it tonight. Lindor, I'm expecting him to be in the lineup.
I think he's going to play, too.
Me, too. All right, we'll see what happens. I expect. And
he's going
to be facing
Chris Sale. I do think he's going to start.
Go get a win.
Yeah.
And then we'll react to it tomorrow. BT and Sal, Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the Fan. We'll continue here with your calls, 888-808-1019. Couple of things here, BT, bookkeeping. Jermaine Illuminor usually joins us every Tuesday. He could not this week because of the short week where the Giants are playing tomorrow. We're hoping to get him on today. He couldn't do it because of practice or meetings or whatever it may be. So unfortunately, we'll have to wait to have Illuminor next week. It's not like we're avoiding him after a win.
No, we'd love to have him.
Yeah, we'd love to have him.
My bad.
Yeah, no, we'd love to have him on after a win. win. But we'll get more into the Giants tomorrow. Can't wait. I'm going to the game at MetLife tomorrow. Hope the weather holds up. Somebody was saying rain.
You'll be all right.
Yeah, okay, good. So we'll see Giants, Cowboys, I'm looking forward to. But we'll break that game down tomorrow. Howie, who was with us before, and in case you missed anything, check it out on the free Odyssey app. Download the podcast version of the show as well. Howie was saying that, I just saw a tweet from him, and it kind of alluded to this earlier, but if they believe that they could get the game in tonight, and it seems to be the case that they believe they're going to be able to get the game in tonight, what if there's a delay and the Braves start Sale and then the game gets delayed and then they redo it? Although I guess it doesn't make sense how they would restart the game based on all the weather patterns that everybody's been talking about. Like, once it starts, that's why when Bogus said, oh, the Mets are going to show up a little bit later, the team bus is going later because they expect to be at the ballpark all night. Why? Once the rain starts, common sense would tell you this type of the hurricane coming in, it's not going to stop, right?
Yeah, it's actually gotten worse. When I checked on this earlier, there was a window from, well, they messed up. I mean, there's no other way to really to position this here because I'm looking now at the hour-by-hour forecast.
And what's it saying now?
Well, I mean, from, you know, 2 o'clock, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, you know, there's 15-ish percent chance of rain, nominal wind, 7, 8 miles per hour, playable. So if you would have played a doubleheader or at least played one early, you're good. Then you get to the 8, 9, 10, 11, and well beyond, and it's now 50%, 70%, scattered thunderstorms, lightning delays. Like, yeah, I mean, they got a long day in front of them.
But without
a completed game.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. So they're going to wait all night to see if there might be a little window to complete. Like, what a bunch of idiots baseball is. Why not just move the game up an hour?
I don't know.
You can't move the start time up an hour, or you couldn't have done that last night? Hey, you know what? Tomorrow we're going to start at 6:20.
Well, the Tigers did it.
Okay.
So you could.
Yeah, so what's the holdup? What, Atlanta's worried about the gate at 7:20? I got news for you. If you're in Atlanta, well, you're a fair weather fan anyway, you think that the fans are going to want to go sit in a thunderstorm all night long at 7:20? Or, hey, maybe we'll go at 6:20 and figure out a way if we can get the game in 3 hours. Like, it just doesn't make any sense.
No, baseball confuses me. I think they draw pretty well, though.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
They draw. I know what you mean, like, historically.
Well, I was just taking a cheap shot.
And I know you are. Empty seats during the playoffs with Maddox and those guys. Yeah. But they show up at this ballpark.
We've also been talking about Gleyber Torres as well and his miscue last night. Charlie's in Staten Island. What's up, Charlie?
Hey, what's up, boys? How we doing?
Good.
Good. What's happening, buddy?
Good, nothing, man. BT, the Gleyber slander has to just slow down just a little bit. I understand he's got that Gen Z brain fog. I totally understand it. But the guy has been laser-focused for the last month. Some of the best at-bats of the night last night came from Gleyber. We don't put any of the blame here on Rojas. Like, no. Is the guy ever going to take a chance? Judge wasn't getting the at-bat anyway. It was going to Wells. They would have walked Judge anyway.
Yep, I
you
know that.
You take the shot there. You take it. That's it.
Okay, so you want to send them. Now, I mean, listen, I get that. That ball was hit pretty hard, too. To the outfield. Now, I'm going to watch this again, and stay with me, Charlie.
So when you're putting, he wants to put the blame on Ross. Charlie, you want to put the blame on Ross for not sending him?
In this situation, yes.
All right, but at least it's clear for not sending him, not saying being indecisive
there's
or showing.
There's 2 outs.
Yeah.
All right, so
yeah, there's 2 outs in the inning. Yes.
I'm watching it again. So.
All right, but there's 2 outs in the inning. You're also not assuming Soto's going to go to second. Like,
you're not.
If you're going to criticize anybody other than Gleyber.
The throw went through. If the throw's going through, Soto's on second. He's a small base runner.
No. Yeah, but if Judge is up next, which he is, if you're Soto, don't be trying to take an extra base there.
They still might walk you.
Okay, fair enough.
And load the bases and go to Wells.
Fair enough. Let them make that decision.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Charlie, thanks for the call. I'm watching this again. And the stop sign is very obvious. That's the first thing that I said. Could you have sent them? Well, I also think it's a lot easier to sit down and say that when the throw 7 feet up the line in hindsight. I mean, that ball was hit hard. Torres is, he's not slow, but he's not fast. And you have Aaron Judge coming up. So, no, I would not have sent them there. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't think sending him was the right play there. Just in real time, watching the game. I went back a little bit and watched the Rojas thing just to make sure on the replay whenever they were showing it on the broadcast. But I wasn't, like, second-guessing anything. Like, in real time watching that game, my instincts were saying, just don't move.
Me too.
You're at third base. The third base coach said stop. That's it.
Yeah.
Like, whatever happens with Soto or them walking Judge, fine. There's no need. Like, where is Gleyber going? No, and I'm certainly not being aggressive if I'm Rojas thinking, oh, well, they might walk Judge anyway. No, I'm letting them make that decision. Yankees are trailing in the game. This is not extra innings where the base doesn't matter or the runner doesn't matter. They all matter. You want to have them put Judge on. If Soto's on first and Glaber's at third and they don't want to pitch the Judge, that's their problem. And then load the bases to pitch Austin Wells. Maybe it's a grand slam.
But I will say part of the calculation of Rojas and any coach at that point, maybe you could also say that, you know, Torres should be doing this, but a coach certainly should be doing this, is whether or not the hitter would get walked or, but that's independent of whether or not you think you're going to run into an out. Sending him there is a reckless cavalier play in the seventh inning in a 4-3 game.
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
To me, especially with Judge coming up, I can't assume. You don't know that they're going to definitely.
They're going to walk him.
Oh, how do you know that?
I mean, I don't, but I do.
To pitch to Austin Wells?
They're going
to
walk him.
And then put another runner in scoring position for Wells to get a base hit?
Yeah, you get a force in any base, yeah. Wells isn't a burner.
So score four,
I think so.
Score, you're down at the time, 4-3.
I understand what you're doing.
You're
going
to put
it.
Another runner in scoring position. Wells gets a base hit, and now you're losing as opposed to just tied, potentially.
I understand the whole situation. Like it's a little nuts, but Judge.
Well, and I'm not saying, Mike, I'm the one who said I would never pitch a Judge, period. I'm not saying that they wouldn't do that. I'm just saying that I don't think it was a foregone conclusion or a given that they're automatically going to have Judge go to or walk Judge if Soto were on first. I am not blaming Rojas at all. I'm not sending him, especially with Judge up. You could, if you want, blame Soto for saying, hey, if you take second, they're automatically going to walk Judge.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe if you stay at first, maybe they'd pitch the Judge. Like, I don't think the Yankees needed to be overly aggressive on the base
pass. No, not with Judge coming up and not with Wells coming up. I don't disagree with that. We're kind of saying the same thing. Now, I don't mean to exonerate Rojas for other inconsistencies this year. He's had an interesting year at third base, but last night gets a pass.
Yeah, it's always Glaber, and then we're going to try to pin it on somebody else? Come on. Mike is in Massapequa. What's up, Mike?
How are you guys?
Good, how are you?
What's happening, Mike?
Guys, I worship, you know, first of all, I love the show. Love Howie Rose. I think he's one of the most intelligent baseball guys ever. But I, as a lifelong Mets fan, do not give this team a pass for yesterday. First of all, I think there's a difference between a team being resilient and overachieving, which this team is. I love the ride. But they have not earned my respect, nor should they earn the Mets fans' respect. The best New York Met on the baseball diamond last night was Michael Conforto hitting a three-run bomb against the D-backs. I mean, it was an atrocity. They didn't show up last night. They didn't look prepared for the game. And I'm telling you guys, dismissed a caller about an hour ago that said they didn't look like they had a game plan against this pitcher. It's the second time they've seen him, and they looked lost again. It was such a huge game. You have the Braves thing. They did not show up. And I'm sick and tired of hearing that they've been the best
team. I think that's so unfair, Mike.
Subway token, guys.
You know,
to get you on the subway.
No, that's not true.
Well,
they've been the best baseball team in the league for four
so
months.
Not,
that's something.
Sal, the baseball season is 6 months, Sal, not four.
Understood, but
they
still,
they've overachieved.
Four months.
Do you think the Atlanta Braves and the Milwaukee Brewers right now are saying, oh, they've been the best team? Is there an extra wild card spot?
The Mets currently, Mike, it means something. The Mets currently own a wild card spot, plus since June on, which has been the majority of the season, from June 1st on, 4 months, Mike, is the majority over 2 months. Now, I'm not great at math, but I'm going to explain it to you. So if you're the best team from June on, that means more than the best team from April to May. So it does mean something. And the Mets currently hold a playoff spot. So I wouldn't be so quick to dismiss that. And by the way, we did not dismiss the caller for saying they didn't have a game plan against the pitcher last night. He said something else that didn't make sense. I forget what it was at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But just basically like, oh, well, they can't beat this guy. They're not going to beat that guy. Whatever it was. It wasn't dismissing last night. Last night was bad. But you're telling me you're not taking any stock in what they did over the last 4 months, being the best record in baseball of all the teams?
Well, I mean, listen, I think at some point that, you know, I don't know when that point is. I'll let Met fans determine that. But I think the reference point of that prolonged stretch of quality baseball, you know, best baseball in the sport, eventually you don't want to hear that when you lose games that you need to win. I understand that. But it is true. It's not a stretching of facts. The Mets have played very good baseball for a long time. So I understand, though, if you don't want to hear it now, but what I don't get from that last caller or anybody who says the Mets didn't show up last night, I don't know how anybody can point that out and say it was a lack of effort or a lack of being locked in or a lack of want. I think that's unfair to this team. And now I'm going to bring Torres back into it. Like, it's not unfair for us to say about Gleyber Torres and get on him for his repeated mental lapses. For us to say, and I'm not saying this, but for some people to say that the Mets didn't show up last night is the exact opposite of what they've shown us to be all season. They didn't win. Doesn't mean they didn't show up.
Yeah, well, I never said that they didn't show up.
No, the caller
said
that.
They looked lifeless.
They didn't even show up. I got news for you. When you lose 4-1, most really good teams are going to look lifeless.
Right. Well, I mean, they were sloppy.
Whatever
defensively,
the score was. Yeah, 5-1.
Yeah, they were sloppy last night. I didn't say they didn't show up. Me personally, it wasn't. I don't think a lack of
effort.
But a
few people have said that today.
Yeah. Okay. Fine. I think it was more the pressure, more being tight against Atlanta. Those are things where I need to see this team for once look the big bad Braves in the eye, not be afraid and beat them. You know who I saw that from last night? Mark Vientos. And it's not just because he hit a home run. It's because you could see his at-bats. You could see his attitude, his confidence. Vientos isn't scared of anybody or anything. He wasn't playing with extra pressure last night. He was just playing his game. That's a man's man out there going against a tough team and a tough pitcher, righty on righty, whatever you want to say, and doing his job. Everybody else, Nimmo, Alonso, those guys, Brandon Nimmo, Pete Alonso, they've proven before that they are the moment against, especially against Atlanta, too big for them. They failed before. I need to see them succeed in the big moment against that team.
I know you need to see it, and I can't attribute directly. I can't identify the direct correlation outside of leaning on history, which elements of 2022 do seep into this team, as we've discussed, because some of the same guys here, I get that, different from prior years. I've got to see how they finish the season. Like, if this team stutters and sputters and peters out and wins two of the next five and loses the wild card and they go home after 162, we'll absolutely bury them.
Right.
I just think, Dan, this is really my point for the entire day. If any team's earned the right or earned a little reprieve that they're going to find a way to get up, it's this team.
Okay. Let me just ask you this before we take a break, and we'll come back and we'll finish up with the calls. Like, of the guys in the lineup last night, Iglesias, whatever, we know what he's been.
Mm-hmm.
Winker, Taylor, like, these are good players, but, you know, Alvarez at this point. Batting eight,
Alvarez,
Acuna.
Yeah.
Okay. Nimmo, two-hitter. I'm going 2-3-4. Last night in Atlanta. Biggest game of the year. Biggest
no hits,
of the year.
Right?
Nimmo, Marte, Alonso. Something that they have in common. All three of those guys, 2-3-4 hitters last night, all three of those guys were key parts of the 2022 team that got beat by Atlanta.
Yep.
All three of those guys last night.
Was Marte hurt during that series? Was he back? I don't recall.
He was hurt at the end of September.
I know he was hurt a lot with the groin or something.
I think they tried to get him back, but he didn't. Anyway, he was a key part of that team.
Oh, for sure. Yeah,
and when he got hurt, to your point,
that's what I'm saying.
It correlated with their...
Okay, I have a question for you. Why is Marte hitting third? Why he's suddenly a three-hitter? Well, listen, I love Mendoza. Talk about overthinking it.
Man, whatever. Maybe
not whatever.
Vientos should be
up there. Sterling Marte should be batting third.
Oh, I gave you my lineup yesterday. Vientos should be hitting up
there. I hear you, but why was I legitimately thought that last night. Why is he batting third?
0-4 Nimmo. 0-4 Marte.
Yep.
0-3 Pete.
I don't have it in front of me. I think Vientos got two hits. I know that Iglesias got the one hit off the end of his bat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Taylor.
Acuna.
That's right. Acuna got one
hit. Well, Vientos came to play and showed it. Everybody else maybe choked under pressure.
Well,
whatever. I'm just saying that
that's
those
where we disagree.
Well, here's the better part of the story. Like, there's two parts of what I'm saying here. So Nimmo, Marte, Alonso, 2-3-4 hitters.
They did nothing.
Guys who have been here before, they did nothing. Look at the Brave stars. Harris, you look at Ozuna, you look at Olsen, just their presence in the lineup.
What did Olsen do again?
Olsen did have a base hit, drove in a run.
He didn't do a ton, right?
Olsen was 1-for-3, a run scored, had a ribby.
Okay.
Albies, 1-for-4, run scored, ribby.
And one of those hits, Harris, the Albies hit was a 7-hopper. Harris played real well.
Ozuna homered. Harris homered. Harris had three hits. He homered and made the great catch.
Harris was the best player on the field last night.
And Harris is a great player.
He
who
is?
Was the best player on the field last night? Ozuna, who's a guy who's been talked about the MVP conversation, he homered last night.
Okay, but hold on a sec. So Harris... I think this is really important. If I say to you, Sal, most talent, because Lindor's not playing, who's the most talented player on the diamond last night? The answer's probably Harris, for either team.
Oh, but that's also kind of a point, right?
Well, but it's not, it's,
right, who's
it,
second?
It might be the
who's
point, but it's
second?
Not my point. So is it Harris? Are we going to say it's Harris? Okay, who's number two?
Probably Ozuna.
Okay, so that when people...
Who's third?
Probably Olsen.
Correct.
I understand that. So it's not. So that's why I'm pushing back when I hear the Mets choked, the Mets weren't ready. No. The Braves have better players, especially without Lindor there and Pete doing nothing.
Yeah, well, but Pete doing nothing is a big part of this. I think that this team, and look, the Mets team has been doing fine against Philadelphia, who's got a loaded lineup too, but yet they beat them 3 out of 4. It's this team. The Braves' best players show up in these series against the Mets. The Mets' best players run and hide in these series against Atlanta. Until proven otherwise, that's just how it is.
Call of the Day with Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Today's Call of the Day brought to you by Volvo Cars Ramsey. Finding the Volvo you want is easy at Volvo Cars Ramsey, and by Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating experts.
The third time we've had the great Susan Waldman on the show, Hall of Famer, one half of the dynamic duo for the radio booth, and Batman returned. He pulled up back to his Robin. Susan, BT, and Sal, how you doing today?
I'm great. How are you guys?
How are you handling the potential champagne celebration tonight in the Yankee clubhouse?
Oh no! I'm good at this. I'm good at this. I say anybody that touches me until the World Series, they will pay for it.
Ooh.
So I'm pretty good. The only thing you have to do is have, I get a little, but I don't get full douse like Meredith.
Like Meredith, yeah.
And actually, Alex Verdugo said, I got you. And he got in front of me because someone was going to
split. Oh.
But now I bring a raincoat and I got my little rubber ducky boots. And it'll be fine.
All right, Susan. Well, hopefully you're celebrating tonight. Only the World Series. That's only where you get doused. You're not getting doused here for the division. None of
better
that.
Not.
Okay.
Better not.
Messing around.
I love it. I love that. I mean, hey, you don't want to mess with Susan there. You're going to pay. I wonder what the punishment is going to be. We could ask her that next week.
Yeah, she seems to hold a grudge with that.
Yeah, well,
taking
I mean,
names.
She's been doing it while she knows the rules by now. Yeah. Everybody else better fall in line. All right, we'll finish up here on the phones, 888-808-1019. One quick note, BT, I'm just seeing this now. Pat Leonard tweeted this, and we'll get much more into the Giants tomorrow. Looking forward to that game. Giants Cowboys, of course, getting week four started. Drew Phillips is officially out.
Yep.
So that's going to be a problem for the Giants because this is a game where Dallas likes to throw the football and you want to have your best corners out there. Drew Phillips is out. Adoree Jackson also out. Not that that's a big, you know, I'm not trying to, you know.
No, I know. I mean, but it's going to test the depth.
Darius Slayton, questionable, whatever. But I think Drew Phillips being out in this particular spot, usually don't get nuts for particular injuries, even with key guys, like outside of a quarterback. Teams can figure it out to get by a week, but this is a week where you, like, if the Giants were playing a normal opponent, maybe you could survive without Phillips, even though he's one of your better defenders. This is a spot where you want him there because you expect Dallas to be throwing the football quite a bit tomorrow night.
They're going to fling it all over. You hear what Phil said about the Cowboys running backs? He thinks that they're the two worst running back, like the worst duo in the NFL.
Who is it? Is it Dowdle, the second guy? It's
Elliott,
right?
And what's the other guy? Whatever the other
guy's
name is.
I thought it was Dowdle. Okay. And that's a problem. Think about this, and maybe this is for a bigger conversation or just different when we go around the league and whatever, and we have some fun with that, but the Bills are going to be better this year and have looked better because they're going to be running the football more. Even with the quarterback and everybody gets caught up in, oh, got to throw it this many times or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The Cowboys, even though they can throw it with Dak and CeeDee Lamb, the problem is they can't run the football.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as much as we want to evolve the sport, you got to be able to run the ball. Same thing with the Jets. Like, if the Jets didn't have the ground attack that they could potentially have with these two backs, it wouldn't just be about Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, it's great to have the great quarterback, but without a running game to come, Kansas City, same thing. Like, Kansas City doesn't look the same because they're just not throwing it down the field all the time with Tyreek Hill.
Oh, they didn't really do that last year.
Correct. Since Tyreek Hill has left, they've evolved.
Yeah.
They run the football. Now, with Pacheco, they're going to be screwed a little bit. But so, point is, running the football goes a long way, even in today's NFL.
Well, listen, if you look at, not to get too nerdy here, but if you look at Dallas's interior grades, they're actually pretty good pass protecting. They're very poor run blocking here. So, I know, and, you know, Phil's the man, but Phil's probably focusing more on the running backs, but there's not a whole lot of holes to hit either. So, you know, Dak's going to come out, and this is definitely a bigger conversation. Most of the show will be about this tomorrow, and obviously how the Mets do tonight, if they play, if Yankees wrap it up. But this is a must-show-out game. They got to show that they're narrowing that gap with Dallas.
All right, Norman is in Long Branch, New Jersey. What's up, Norman?
Hey, guys. Suffering Met fan over here. Very, very worried. And I don't know who has the advantage if these games get canceled. I think we're going to face the Schwellenbach again on Monday, possibly, with Sale, maybe. I don't know. But at what point does Major League Baseball get involved and say, you got to get a game in? Yesterday was gorgeous in Atlanta.
That's too late.
Today it's not even raining yet. But at what point of the season did they step in and say, you have to play a game? How are they allowing this to go on where we all know they're not playing tomorrow, and who knows what's going to be tonight? How do they let this go to
because
Monday?
Because it's a clown
Major
show.
League Baseball.
They're a bunch of clowns. Major League Baseball, I have no faith in Major League Baseball. I really don't. I love the sport. I even like some of the things they've tried to implement to change the pace of the game. But when it comes to leadership, I've got no faith in Rob Manfred.
There's no reason. Like, you could say, okay, well,
to play two games yesterday would have been asking a lot. You know, wait to see how the weather plays out, whatever. There is no reason why today's game, at the very least, you want to say you don't want to do a doubleheader?
Mm-hmm.
Fine, even though I think that that's what they should have done. But you don't want to do a doubleheader? Fine. There's no reason why today's game should not be moved up. Like, at the all right, you want to play it at 1 o'clock? Play it at 3 o'clock or 5 o'clock or... Like, how can you not move today's game up? It's common sense.
They're lost. I mean, they're sitting around. I don't know. They're in the clubhouse now. They're taking BP indoors. And it's the weather is decent now. They're not on the field playing real ball. And as the clouds and the lightning and the thunder and the torrential rain and wind comes in, they'll try to play baseball. It makes no sense.
It's just idiotic. Chris is in White Plains. What's up, Chris?
Hey, man.
Hey, guys. What's up? Listen, I just real quick, I'm so sick and tired of these complaining, whining Mets fans. Relax, all right? I'm 56 years old. I've been through plenty. You don't become a member of the FDNY and then complain that it's hot at work. This is the gig. We're Mets fans. You're going to have to deal with this sometime.
Yeah, but you know what? Go get a win. That's all I ask.
Yeah.
I'm not asking for a lot. Take 2 out of 3 from Atlanta. Apparently, it's been impossible for years. That's all.
You're going to get at least one. I can't guarantee two.
Well, hopefully it's tonight. All right. That does it for us. We'll be back again tomorrow at 10 a.m. Thanks to Dove. Thanks to Hop. Thanks to everybody who listened and called. We appreciate each and every one of you. Hopefully, we're coming back tomorrow with a win, whether it's for the Mets or the Yankees. And then, of course, Giants football. Evan and Tiki, they're coming up next.